Welcome to the Apprentice Approach Podcast, Episode 3, where the ripples far exceed the splash. This is Jack McQueenie. I'll be your host as we dive into the joys, challenges, and opportunities of discipleship. The state of discipleship is in disarray. People want to enjoy a meaningful, connected, and fruitful life following Christ, but they're discouraged, unequipped, and don't know where to start. That's why we've poured our 85-plus years of experience and learning into creating a dynamic, transferable framework that will transform the way you view discipleship and ultimately the way you live. Our show is all about connecting you to authentic leaders who will share real truths about being a disciple, discipling, and life-on-life ministry that you can easily apply. Today, we're concluding our three-part series with longtime navigator Jim Downing. This week's topic is family and discipleship, where I asked Jim to share some of his own personal experiences in discipleship and his time with Dawson Trotman. Let's listen in as we hear from this Jedi Master of discipleship. You know, I thoroughly enjoyed your book. Your latest book, and I was impressed with one of the aspects. I was overly impressed with is God's faithfulness in your life over all those years, over some pretty interesting situations. As you look back, are there a couple mountaintop experiences that you've identified that has caused you to want to continue in this ministry of not just being a witness, but building into the lives of others?
I think my early orientation is that I know a parent's responsibility when they have a children. And one of my good friends has recently had a daughter, and I gave her a little poem that I'd picked up someplace along the line was about the little tyrant that moved into our house and took total charge. Everything that was done was built around that little tyrant. So I recognize the importance of physical, spiritual nurture. And instinctively, I felt the same responsibility to every babe in Christ that I've encountered to help them, you know, reach maturity. It just became an instinct.
Yeah. You know, you and Marina have been great examples to Shonda and I about over the years of what that looks like, even in your family. And can you give us some tidbits of encouragement or some tools of help that would, for our listeners out there, to encourage them in their own relationship with their kids and their families?
Yes, two or three things. I do some weddings occasionally, and in a wedding ceremony, I give both the bride and the groom their job description as newly married. And to the groom, I say, your job description is to assure your wife every time it's necessary, maybe several times a day, you are still the most important person in my life. She has a new security when she marries you. She's had to worry, how is she going to make it? Mr. Universe comes along, I'll take care of that. So her security depends on the fact that she knows she's still the most important person in your life. And to the bride, it is not acceptable in our culture, but 1 Peter 3:2-3 in the Amplified contains 12 adjectives about a wife's responsibility to her husband. And if you had to summarize them in one word, it would be to affirm him. I've had far more share of accolades in my life than I deserve. But if my wife didn't approve, it didn't mean a thing. Her approval is the only thing. So a husband needs approval. So as far as their relationship, I think that's the most important thing. And her affirmation, she might have to fudge it a little bit, but that's okay to tell him how great he is. Now, about the children, we never did set a curfew for them. We just told them what our expectations were. I taught every one of them to drive when they were 16, and on their birthday, they were allowed to solo. So they knew we had confidence in them. One thing that we did, taught them, now, as long as God is holding me responsible for your conduct, I'll make the final decisions. The minute you can persuade me that he is holding you responsible, not me, then you make your own decisions. That was generally when they went to college. So we've had good relationships. I mentioned, though, that life is about a meaningful relationship with God, with family, and then with friends.
Hmm. Boy, as you look back to those early days with Lila and Dawson and Lauren and Lucy, and what are some of the things that stood out to you in terms of your relationships as a couple with them as it relates to building in the lives of other couples, especially younger couples?
Yes, we mostly did this separately, you know, she with the wife and me with the husband. And I think that we had both had the same experiences they all had and lived through them. So generally, we said, when this problem came up with us, this is what we did. So mostly we passed along was just from our experience.
And how did that come down from Lila and Dawson?
Well, they were a very unique couple. He told me things that I haven't passed along. I'll just share one of them. They didn't have email in those days, so he had to write a lot of letters. He traveled a lot. So when he wrote a letter, he said, now, the first paragraph, you tell her little things about how much you love her and the things that a woman needs to hear before you start your letter. So that was a practice that he had, kind of a secret, I think. She didn't know that's what he was, that it wasn't that spontaneous. It was just a duty that he had. But she was a good straight man for him. The last time I had a meal with him was in Richmond, Virginia, during the Billy Graham Crusade. And when the waitress brought the menu, he looked over at her and he said, then he looked back and said, my mother will have this. And then he grabbed his ankle, like it hurt, and he said, you didn't have to do that, you know, like he had kicked him in the ankle there. Well, everybody around, you know, he couldn't stand a vacuum. Then when we left, as we went through the line, he picked up the ticket, but he said, Lila, open your purse. So she opened her purse, he looked in, and he told the cashier, I have trouble with her stealing the silverware, and I just want to make sure she didn't do it. So she enjoyed being a straight man for him. But they were genuinely in love. And he learned this matter of something from the Bible before you go to sleep every night. So sometimes after he had traveled, and was bringing her up to date, he would be through listening before she was through talking. And he had a little signal. He'd say, GWLW. That meant God's word, the last word. So she could talk as long as she wanted, as long as she read scripture to him.
Yeah, that's great. Talk to us about the importance of humor, joy, and a light spirit in the midst of discipleship.
Well, I think humor is necessary for a healthy life, no matter what it is. I think I can back that up from what other people have said. We need to learn not to take ourselves too serious.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Some of our listeners might be struggling with the idea, you know, I work, you know, God's called me to work, and then this other thing called ministry, and which takes time and energy and effort, I struggle with because I get home when I'm tired. What would you say to them? Because I think within all of us, there's an urge, a desire to be a discipler, to engage in this ministry of reconciliation, to be engaged in the Great Commission. What would you say to them when they struggle with the tensions of life and they come home, there may be the kids climbing all over and the front door needs to be fixed, and how do you move through life and still commit to the ministry?
I'm going to use something I learned from Peter Drucker, I think it was. He said, a successful executive does his work during working hours. And then, but people say, well, I can't do that. I don't have enough help. A successful executive gets his work done through working hours. That means he'll get the help. Then they said, we don't have the money. A successful executive gets his work done through working hours. You raise the money to hire the people to help you so you can complete your work during working hours. So I like that little word in there that you figured out. Now, this requires a lot of delegation. And the person to whom you delegate will never do it as well as you would have done it. But you have to accept some substandard performance sometimes.
Yeah.
In that. But that's what I stick to, what I strive, you know. Okay. I'm not going to be overwhelmed. I'm going to find out the help I need to get my work done during working hours.
That's good. Talk to us, Jim, about the importance of the Word in our lives on a daily basis, especially as we try to build into the lives of others.
Well, as we've said, you know, we need to feed on the Word to be healthy Christians. I have a story I tell that probably isn't a true story. It came from my grandfather. And I think he told me things for entertainment, not meant to pass along truth. But he talked about this family, had so many children, they never had organized meals. So in the morning, the mother would put something on the stove, maybe it was mush, maybe it was soup. And the kids each had their bowl and spoon. And whenever they got hungry, they went and dipped it out of there. But one of the girls looked to be kind of undernourished, so they watched to see what she did after she filled up her bowl. So she went out in the yard, sat down, and this is the hard part of the story, it's hard to believe. A snake came up and began to eat out of the bowl, and she would hit the snake over the head with a spoon. Still wouldn't go away. They wrestled till she spilled it on the ground. So, whether that's true or not, Satan every day tries to do something to keep you away from the Word. I think that he figures we will be less effective during the day if he can do that, just rob us of our food. So it's very important, like Spurgeon said, no Bible, no breakfast. And I don't know where in the world Job got hold of the commandments he had, because the Bible hadn't been written then. But he said, I've esteemed the words of your mouth more than my necessary food. That's just the way God made us, it seems to me, that the Bible is more important than breakfast.
That is tremendous. What, you know, in these days, as you've traveled quite a bit, I've looked at your life and, you know, you guys have been heroes of ours for so many years. But as you, on a daily basis, lift that one leg out of bed, and what motivates you these days? What motivates you to get out of bed and to engage with people the way you do?
The week that Dawson Hartman drowned up at Scroon Lake, I was there that week. And Walden Scott gave one of the main messages. It was on availability. Tremendous message. I think I decided after I got message that that'll be in my life, I'm available. So that's what drives me, is that I've told the Lord, I'm available for anything you want. I found it's true in my life and in the lives of others that God generally gives us a job about 6 months before we think we're ready. But if he says you're ready, well, you're ready to get up and do it.
And how have you tried to impart that onto the folks that you've ministered to?
Probably by example, more than any other way. I've got people that Brett and another woman over at Headwaters that helped me, so they could worry about the things they don't worry about. So I tell them now, when somebody calls and asks for time, don't ever refuse. If you just say, well, we may have to reschedule this, you know, I'm already tied up. But I want to make time for anybody that wants to see me for any purpose.
Any other stories you think about that you'd like to share that are relevant to this topic of discipleship, life on life?
I think I'm driven by this verse we quoted here, that bringing people to maturity is what it's all about, because they will reproduce when they're mature, but they have brought maturity.
Well, it's clear that the family is a strategic focus in discipleship. So when we leave work to be present with our family. Well, that's convicting. We've heard a common thread from Jim's 80-plus years of experience, and the one truth he wanted us to take away was discipleship is about helping to bring people to maturity. Thank you, Jim, for your words of wisdom. Be sure to listen in next time as we talk with an amazing leader couple, Skip and Buzzy Gray. And if you like our podcast, visit our website, theapprenticeapproach.org. And if you haven't subscribed to the Apprentice Approach podcast in iTunes, do it today. This is your host, Jack McQueenie, believing God for generations of men and women like you.